Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your host. Chris Schubert's also here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network, and we are brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at Bet Online. They feature live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. They have every sport, so head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BELEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's Bet Online, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy National Valentine Shopping Reminder Day to you.
Well, it's nice they bake a day in for that, huh?
Yeah, no excuses.
We got, what, 8 days?
Not a math guy, but, you know, it's February 6th. My understanding is Valentine's Day is every year on February 14th. So, yeah, you got 8 days to figure it out.
Next Tuesday.
So, wait a minute. Can I ask a question?
Hello, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hello. If the idea of this day is to remind you about Valentine's Day, what if you forget about this day? Is there a day to remind you about this day?
Oh, add it to the list of national days we need to create.
Right. Like, the idea of this day is to remind you about Valentine's Day, but don't I need a reminder about the reminder?
Yeah. It's fair.
If you sleep through two alarms, it's your fault when you oversleep and are late to work.
Yeah.
So the first one's okay.
Maybe we should justify having another reminder day. Maybe we should. Because it's too. I feel sorry for you if you oversleep one alarm and you mess up because everybody's done it. But if you consciously reach over, slap the table, turn off the alarm twice, it's your own fault. So maybe we should remind everyone on Friday.
We'll do what we can.
It can be our responsibility.
Do what we can. Well, we are all no longer together in Mobile, Alabama. That's why I had to get my big grumbly guys being dudes out there, because when we were in the Cedarwood, whatever, Cedar Street Social Club.
Cedar Street.
Yeah.
Social Club.
Yeah. I was told, Chris Schubert told me, like, hey, kind of back off. It's live. It's a hot mic, you know, so had to get the grumbles back today.
What do you think Peaches is doing right now?
I think about it all the time. All the time.
How much did you think about it during your 6-hour drive yesterday?
I was thinking about how tired I was. That was an unexpected little commute there. Remember, two more hours back to Charlotte once we got to Greer, South Carolina. So long,
8 hours total.
Yeah, you had quite the travel back too. I mean, you got back what, 2 a.m. this morning, Kyle? So
I did. Yeah, so that's why we're obviously a little late getting out the jump today because we all had travel days yesterday. I flew from Mobile. Well, first of all, Chris and I, along with Jamie and Jack Fitzgerald McKessie, went to Cracker Barrel yesterday.
Oh,
that was our big dub.
I hate you.
Yeah, you did not come to. That's what you get for driving home. You should have just flown to Dallas and then flown to Charlotte.
Yeah, that would have made a lot of sense.
While everybody else flew to Charlotte to go to their actual homes,
right? You know.
So, we had the Country Boy breakfast.
No.
Well, I had the Country Boy breakfast. Chris had the fried steak. Is that
so
correct?
I had fried steak, yes.
Fried steak. Everybody else had Country Boy breakfast. And then we went to a Mobile, Alabama flea market, Joe. Oh, and that's how we spent 3 hours going to a flea market.
I am immediately happy I wasn't with you. Markets are not for me. No. There's no chance.
Joe.
No,
it was a good time.
Was
nope.
A blast.
No.
A blast. Confirm.
Man, I was forced into participating in a flea market, I would guess.
Against your will?
Yeah, like maybe 15 years ago for a job that I used to have. And I saw what goes on there, and that is not a scene for me.
Well, hold time out. I'm going to use my first time out. I know it's early in the show. I've only got two more left. I get it. You had to partake in the flea market.
Yes, I sold goods.
That's why you don't like the
flea
market.
But I observed what was
happening
there.
And having, it's like going to the grocery store, right? And like the people that are there just to be there and don't know what they want. They're just kind of, they got the cart. They're walking 0.6 miles per hour down
the
middle of the aisle.
Those are not my friends.
There's nowhere to be at any given point. And like, that's fine. But like, if I'm going shopping, I usually know what I need. I know what I want. And I got to hustle to get it. The flea market is the quintessential, we're going to go because we don't have anything better to do. So that's just the pace we're going to all operate on. So I imagine if you're selling and vending goods, you'll get some questions by people you immediately know have no intention of buying anything that you're actively selling. And that's what makes that, in my opinion, probably a super miserable experience for you. I'm sorry that you had to deal with that.
We were buying things. Jamie was buying things at the flea market.
Jamie bought some cards, some sports cards.
Yeah, he's gotten into that lately. He sent me
he swindled some
recently.
Poor guy on an Aaron Donald Panini Prism card.
Wow.
And what was the other one he got?
Cooper Kupp card.
Cooper Kupp.
Wow.
Yeah, the Cooper Kupp Cool Blue or whatever it was.
Did you make any purchases, Kyle?
Me? No. Yeah. I had no square footage left in my bag to put anything.
Chris?
Because remember, I packed for 2 weeks in a duffel bag that was not checked baggage.
Yeah, Joe, that was the problem for me is I wanted to, you know me, like to get the inventory for the eBay, but did not have any room in the bag because there were deals to be made. You can ask Kyle. There were deals to be made.
Chris was softly weeping about the Funko Pops on the shelves in like the crumbled up boxes or that had like a bunch of other stuff on them. He had a really hard time kind of reconciling. He's like, we're just bleeding money here. This is just missed opportunity after missed opportunity. This is awful.
And that's what it would look like if I would have taken any of them and tried to put them in my bag. So that's why I said, no, I can't do that.
Football?
Sure. We could talk about the Senior Bowl itself, the game itself. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of tie a ribbon on the week that was. Obviously, a really fun week. Observing practices, we got a chance to do some community service with the players on Friday, the game on Saturday, and I don't know when I don't want to like continue with the same stuff that we kind of talked about last week with the biggest winners, and so I think I'm at a point now where it's just reflecting on the entire week and the players that did something through this exposure that makes me really reconsider the way I thought about them or where I graded them, and I think that player for me, and it's a guy we haven't really talked about much on this podcast, is Darius Rush, the corner from South Carolina. Did the full film eval on him going into the week and kind of came away with like a six-round grade on him. But I think getting a chance to see him in person, obviously measuring in really well, showing a lot of length. But then the speed, right? He showed really good vertical speed to carry I thought he handled some of the in-breaking patterns better than I saw on tape. Ball skills are there. Competitive toughness is there. And, you know, I think of him now as more of an early day three prospect. And so I think as a, you know, kind of a new name to consider, a guy that moved the needle, that's the guy that I come out of the week. I knew John Michael Schmitz was awesome, right? We've been mocking him in the first round since Kyle presented him to us over the summer, right? We knew this was a player. But that guy that I didn't expect it from, that I got it from, was Darius Rush out of South Carolina corner.
I think that guy for me was a guy, Joe, I graded him higher. I graded him as a fringe top 100 guy, but there's something about this dude, and it's Sidney Brown.
Yeah.
Sidney Brown from Illinois. I think this is a starter in the NFL. I think he can be your nickel. I think he can be your free. I think he can be your strong. I think he could be a sub backer. I think he can do all of it. I've seen him up close. I know he's well built to handle that kind of wear and tear. I've seen more quickness and ability to cover receivers in the slot than what I saw on tape. I thought he was combative with the tight ends that were present there as well, to be able to handle physicality at the catch point. He had good range, explosiveness, football intelligence, intangibles, character. He checked all the boxes, man. This, for me, is a player who's probably going to be in my top 64 the next time we do an update. I think this is a second-round player. And he showcased all the things he did at Illinois, and then he got to showcase some of the things that you can't appreciate on tape, and he got to showcase some different things than what he was asked to do on tape. And the fact that he came through and hit all those boxes has me really excited for him as a prospect, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he ends up landing when this process is all said and done.
I want to ask you a question, Kyle, because I think a lot of times we have different exposures, and then it's like, okay, well, what do we do with the information? And so we came into this week really excited about these defensive linemen, particularly the edge rushers. A lot of good names at the Senior Bowl, and typically, the defensive line really shows up, and we talk about how hard it is for the offensive line in that environment. And what's funny is we actually had a chance to talk with an NFL, you know, executive that makes personnel decisions. And we talked to them on Saturday just before the game, and they're like, you know, offensive line's always kind of tough here. We don't put a whole lot into it because of the context and how difficult it is. But those guys showed up all week long, and the defensive line didn't. And so whether it's Derek Brown, Byron Young, Isaiah McGuire, who I had some love for coming in the week, like, how are you reconciling this data point for these defensive linemen that just didn't show up in the ways we hoped they would this week?
How do I reconcile that?
Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, Isaiah Foskey, there's a long list of guys that just didn't show out.
But do you remember the discussion we had about Isaiah when we did the player presentation on Isaiah?
Yeah.
Had a hard time kind of sussing out where I thought his best fit was. And I think a lot of these guys fall into that bucket. Now, I do think there's some plus players on the offensive line that you can look at and notch quality wins when you cross-reference, well, the defensive player didn't get pressure with, well, the offensive guy did a really nice job of doing exactly what he was supposed to do. But I don't know. I look at the wide receiver group, too. I mean, there were a number of names. Andre Yosevich, Trey Palmer.
Rashee Rice.
Really excited about Rashee Rice. Like, our entire middle class of wide receiver prospects, like, there's a very small margin between those guys. The margin between wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 18 this year is not a big divider, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You could feasibly see that entire group, because those players are all so closely bunched together. You could see that group turned on its head if the trends of athletic testing and poor performances and the pre-draft process and all of that, if it continues in the direction that it went, guys that we generally consider to be second round receivers might be fourth round wide receivers and vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's crazy. So I think that's applicable to the edge group too, where we've talked about how many edge rushers do we have in the top 100 by itself.
It's like 17.
Right. And then you extend that to the top 150 and there's probably 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, same thing. Edge rusher 8 versus edge rusher 18 is not a big divide. I think it could look drastically different than kind of the general perceptions of us clinging to our priors before we started collecting these data points.
I'm glad you brought up wide receiver, because for as much as there were some names that didn't do what we hoped they would, I think two guys in particular stood out amongst that group, and one of them being Jaden Reed from Michigan State. I thought
absolutely.
He had a really good week of practice. Route running's there, the explosiveness is there, and he was just really, really consistent with making plays. And the other guy being Michael Wilson out of Stanford, who is a bigger bodied receiver that has pull away speed vertically down the field that I didn't know he had. I know maybe some quiet years at Stanford, but it felt like even through that, there was buzz about him. And I think we got a good chance to see what his game is about. And I certainly have a more optimistic view about him coming out of the week than, you know, maybe kind of like what's up with this guy going into the week.
So is there a player we've talked ad nauseum about players who performed to expectation, players who outperformed expectation, players who maybe didn't perform to expectation. Is there any player you still have major questions on that you're hoping the combine can perhaps provide you the clarity that you did not get at the Senior Bowl?
You know, I don't know that there was that big of a discrepancy between, like, hey, I really like this player coming in versus, wow, I have to reconsider the way I felt about them. And then the combine is going to give me the data point that I need to settle in. I think maybe the player that I was highest on that disappointed me was Rashee Rice out of SMU. Some stiffness there that I wasn't expecting to see. You could tell there's some inconsistency with the hands. I think he fumbled.
He did.
Which
in the red zone.
Yeah, and that's a problem because I'm pretty sure he's got a bit of a fumbling history. And so producer Joe is going to look that up.
Chris is ready to jump through the screen at you right now.
Right. I'm not going to ask him to look up a poor data point on our guy, Rashee
Rice.
Doesn't
matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Well played opportunity there. You'd think I'd have it up by now, but I don't. So save me.
You would think, Joe. Okay, so Rashee Rice. Chris, this will be the point where Chris pivots and talks about Ivan Pace instead. Is that correct?
No. I won't do I'll let Joe make his point. I mean, if he's got a point, he can make it. And he's just got to get there. He's got to find his data point. Rashee didn't have a good week. He had a roller coaster ride of a week.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Like, he was not good on Tuesday.
And the concern is, now here's what I will say. Rashee, I think, was at the upper echelon of, I think, what we consider the tier two receivers. Are we considering tier two receivers to be, or tier one receivers to be Jordan Addison and potentially Quentin Johnston?
Yes.
Is there anybody else that you would put in tier one in this year's class?
No.
And I don't even know if Quentin Johnston's in there for me. I'm going to be honest.
Correct.
But like Rashee Rice is in the upper tier of that. Even if he slips, like, is he going to get passed
back half
by
of tier two?
Right. Well, is what exactly, Chris? Is he going to get passed by guys like Kayshon Boutte? Like, what has Kayshon Boutte done to alleviate concerns about his development as a player? What is he going to get passed by Marvin Mims? Like, okay, you might get passed by Zay Flowers. You might get passed by.
I don't even
somebody
think he gets passed by Jalen Hyatt.
No, I don't think so either. Now, unless he comes out and runs 4.6 and Hyatt runs a 4.3,
okay, that's a little different.
It'll be very easy for that selling point. But at the end of the day, the guy who runs the better routes is the guy you're going to probably want more consistently, and I think that guy's Rashee Rice. So take it for what it's worth. Joe, please tell me you have fumbles by now.
I'm not able to validate the information on Rashee Rice having a fumbling issue, so I'm sorry.
All right, I'm on it.
I felt like I found it at one point. I can't continue to.
What website were you trying to use?
Hold the podcast hostage.
What website were you trying to use?
PFF.
Oh. Okay. Let me see what I have here. Chris, continue. Get us going with something else.
What do you want me to get you going with? The show, we've hit a logjam.
I found it. He had fumbled three times this year. Three times. On 96 touches. That's one in every third. That's too much.
Thank you, Joseph. Nailed it down.
And now, that's my guy.
All that's time. My guy. Yeah. Using the Google machine. So there's no player that you're like, man, I need the combine to help me figure this guy out.
Does that player exist for you?
I want to know what Chase Brown runs.
I feel like you were disappointed in him all week.
I was. I was really into him coming into the week and thought he could really make a big jump. And I think that the passing down skill set is always going to be something that is going to be a potential barrier for him early in his career. But I think if he can test well, he might be able to salvage what was a kind of an up and down week for him. Mock draft?
Yeah, and I'm just pulling up your mock draft, and my goodness.
It's not mine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You poked the bear in the biggest possible way.
It's not mine. It's literally not my mock draft. Oh, it is the MDM. Did the picks.
I see what you did there, Joe. Poked the bear. I see what you did there.
I did not make any picks for this mock draft.
Who did, Kyle? Who made these picks on this mock draft that is... says when I pull it up is authored by Kyle J. Krabs.
It's authored by Kyle Krabs because I wrote the commentary. But if you read the introductory comment, are there Bears fans mad?
I have no idea if they're mad or not.
I don't know if they're mad either. I just kind of boop mute notification.
How dare you not trade down 47 times and give us 18 first round picks in next year's draft? How dare you?
Right. Well,
there's your comment. I give you Bears fans comment.
Thank you. Who's going to trade up? The Panthers, the Texans, or the Colts? All of them.
Man, there's some years where you say, man, they're like, yeah, you should be able to finesse this, and just there's no market at all. I don't know that you're going to have a big-time market, let alone facilitate, oh, okay, we're going to convince each one of the quarterback-hungry teams to trade with us and pay premium price to do it.
Everyone's got to get galaxy brain this time of year, man, you know?
Hey, what's up with your guys on WFMZ? They're all about Hen and Hooker too. In the second,
yeah,
round.
I try to talk to them about that, but you know they
don't want to hear it.
Don't know what to tell you, man. Don't know what to tell you. Place this, the town's spinning, right? They're all fired up about not getting Steve Wilkes. They get Frank Reich now. They get Jairo Averro. I don't know if I said that right, to be the DC. Now everyone's back in on the coaching staff, man. Nobody knows what they want here.
Didn't we just do this with Matt Corral?
Brother, I said I don't think he's going to be the Panthers franchise quarterback. The town lit me on fire. I said they should draft Justin Herbert. The town lit me on fire. I don't know what to say, man.
Okay. Well, they didn't get Hendon Hooker here, so that's good news. They got CJ Stroud at 9. The MDM made all the picks. It was auto-picked. So we did 10 simulations, logged the most frequent occurrences for all the teams. You made a board of best available players, and then I went through team by team and selected, okay, the best available player on the most frequently simulated pick for team X is player A. That's the pick. And waterfalled it all the way down and let the trends of the MDM, which is in beta testing, be abundantly clear, it's in beta testing, will be launching soon, publicly. But... right now, premium users are in there doing beta testing to smoke test it, make sure it works the way it's supposed to, give us feedback on user interface, so on and so forth. We're making good progress. We're talking about server hosting and being prepared for volume like today, about getting ready to launch the whole thing publicly. So we're very close. But use the beta, no trades, simulate it 10 times, log the results, and then pick best available player off of the most frequently simulated pick board. And this is what I got. This is what I got. Want to walk through it?
Let's take a walk.
I'm not walking through it. Somebody else can have to walk through it.
The Chicago Bears at pick number one, select Will Anderson Jr. The Houston Texans at pick number two, select Bryce Young, quarterback Alabama. Arizona Cardinals, number three, select Jalen Carter, interior defensive line from Georgia. Number four, the Indianapolis Colts select Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. And at number five, the Seattle Seahawks select Miles Murphy, edge from Clemson.
Checks out to me.
Does check out to me. Let me ask you this, Kyle. Let's live in a world where Arizona has their choice of Anderson or Carter, which I don't think is crazy to think that that world exists. What are you thinking, man? Is there a clear direction that you would think they should go?
Do I know who the coach is? Do I know who the coach is?
Well, you know, that continues to be a challenging proposition. Let's say it's who they're interested in, Lou Anarumo?
It's going to be one of three people. It's going to be Brian Flores, Mike Kafka, or Lou Anarumo. It's going to be one of those three gentlemen.
Those feel like three really different paths. So
yes. Yeah. At least there's two defensive guys. I'd be inclined to say Carter, if I'm honest.
Because they just took a couple edge guys in the last
round. Well, yeah, they wouldn't stop me from drafting Anderson. I just think Carter, you know, you just lost Watt, interior penetration. Playing San Francisco. Yeah. Do you want Jalen Carter trying to set runs off from the interior, or do you want Will Anderson in the NFL trying to stack Trent Williams on the edge? And these big boys that Seattle's got.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Pick number six, the Detroit Lions take Tyree Wilson, edge from Texas Tech. At number seven, the Las Vegas Raiders select Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas. The Atlanta Falcons at number eight select Christian Gonzalez, cornerback from Oregon. Number nine, the Carolina Panthers select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State. And number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles select Brian Bresee, interior defensive lineman from Clemson.
A.J. Terrell, Christian Gonzalez, that's a fun corner tandem for the Atlanta Falcons, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you know what? In that division, you might just be able to play lock up on the outside and turn this thing into 9-on-9.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I didn't make the pick. The MDM did. I'm just.
Yeah, I wasn't complimenting you. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I know. I'm just. we're just going to be very clear throughout the entire process of talking about this mock draft that I didn't make the picks. So I don't hear any complaints.
The Tennessee Titans select Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle from Ohio State. The Houston Texans at number 12 select Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC. Number 13, the New York Jets select Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Northwestern. The New England Patriots select Joey Porter Jr., cornerback from Penn State at 14. And at 15, the Green Bay Packers select Lucas Van Ness, edge from Iowa.
I thought Addison was the only pick. Then I was like, nah, probably not.
Well, I mean, if you live in a world where Brandon Cooks is traded, which I think is possible, I think that they would like this type of receiver, especially with Bryce Young, where I think whether it's shots down the field, which Jordan Addison has that ability to win vertically, but also in some of the quick rhythm stuff he can uncover quickly, I think it's a good type of player to put with Bryce Young, although it kind of works against my developing, you know, skill set players or skill player around a developing quarterback. That gives me some level of concern, but I think this type of receiver, if they move on from Cooks, makes a lot of sense.
At 16, the Washington Commanders select Devin Witherspoon, cornerback from Illinois. At 17, the Pittsburgh Steelers select DeJuan Jones, offensive tackle from Ohio State. Number 18, the Detroit Lions select Keely Ringo, corner from Georgia. Number 19, Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Brian Branch, safety from Alabama. And the Seattle Seahawks at pick 20 select Anthony Richardson, quarterback from Florida.
I feel like Anthony Richardson to the Seahawks with their second first-round pick is very trendy. And it almost makes me wonder if he gets through that like initial gauntlet of quarterbacks, you know, what other possibilities exist for him? I certainly think if Baltimore, you know, there's a lot of layers. Like if Baltimore moves on from Lamar Jackson, you can see that type of thing. Or like, what is the Saints' appetite for a quarterback later on now that they're, you know, in the first-round party? So that's one of my fascinating storylines to consider is like, okay, if Anthony Richardson gets through that gauntlet, who are the teams in place to actually pull the trigger on him?
I actually talked myself into this too. Even if they sign Geno, Geno's 32. Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. Geno's 32. He's thrown for 33% of his career passing yards this past year. He threw for 50% of his career passing touchdowns this year. Even if you get him on a deal, and even if he's the next Rich Gannon, Rich Gannon's peak was 4 years. You do that with Geno, he's 36. He's through one of those 4 years now. So you're looking at like a three-year window. And he'll be in his mid to late 30s when you get there. So that was enough for me to say, yeah, you know what? They could probably pick a player that could help them long term. But in the grand scheme of what they're going to have to pay Geno with the lack of consistency with Geno, if they protect themselves, they get a player who's supremely gifted that they could have in-house who you could develop and not press into playing action. I think that's really the thing about that fit that I would like.
Pick number 21 by the Miami Dolphins forfeited. Pick number 22, the Los Angeles Chargers, Luke Musgrave, tight end from Oregon State. Pick number 23, the Baltimore Ravens select Quentin Johnson, a wide receiver from TCU. 24, the Minnesota Vigings select Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver from Ohio State. And pick number 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame.
Little tight end situation here. Musgrave to the Chargers, Mayer to the Jaguars. I like both of those picks. I think Musgrave would be awesome in that Chargers offense.
You know, Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I mean, for sure that, but also like we saw what Hunter Henry was able to do that rookie year with Justin Herbert, and then he just hasn't had that guy the last 2 years. And Musgrave, I mean, goodness gracious, really skilled guy that whether it's the blocking ability, the receiving skill set, the size, you know, the personality that we got a glimpse into, that guy seems like he's going to be a real dude in the NFL.
Pick number 26, the Giants select Osiris Torrance, interior offensive lineman from Florida. 27, the Cowboys select Drew Sanders, linebacker from Arkansas. 28, the Buffalo Bills select John Michael Schmitz, interior offensive lineman from Minnesota. 29, the Cincinnati Bengals select Darnell Washington, tight end from Georgia. The New Orleans Saints at pick number 30 select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama. Pick number 31, the Kansas City Chiefs select Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia. And 32, the Philadelphia Eagles select Clark Phillips III, corner from Utah.
There's your steal of the draft. Broderick Jones getting to 31.
Broderick Jones, 31.
Goodness gracious, Kyle. We can't be having that. Can't be having that. That'd be a real nice replacement. Young, you know, obviously rookie deal for your left tackle. Don't forget Kansas City has like legit cap space this year and legit draft capital. So let's not let that happen. So
Broderick Jones got he's a perfect stylistic fit for
the range.
Tooney and Humphrey and Trey Smith.
Dude, we can't have this.
Dream come true for Kansas City.
Right. I think Michael Schmitz to the Bills, I think at 28 is perfect for what they need at left guard. I don't really have any concerns about him transitioning from center to left guard. I like this Darnell Washington to the Bengals. You know, the Bengals are going to have to move on from some players here based on their expiring contracts this year and next. It feels like Hurst is a player you don't necessarily want to give that money to. Washington really elevates the blocking ability, but also like that type of size in the middle of the field for Joe Burrow can really,
especially if you end up losing Higgins, obviously different kind of receiver in a number of ways, but to have another big body, if you do lose Higgins this offseason, because you're not going to pay him too, Joe's going to be able to throw him open. Look pretty good to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't make any of the picks. I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say it looks good, Kyle. Just talking to you, not the.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do any of it. The MDM did it. I do have a wee woo to bring us to a close today.
Ooh.
Okay.
We have a developing situation on my Instagram feed. I wanted to make you both aware of it.
This could be anything. This literally could be
anything. This could be anything. I sent Chris an Instagram reel yesterday, and he's at the airport, and he said, I'm not opening that. You send me all kinds of stuff. I'm not doing it. The good news is this one is one Bajent Zero rocking a Dan Marino jersey from last April.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
So, developing story, the man appreciates Dan the man as if he wasn't already my guy. Bum, 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 bum. That's my guy here on the Draft Dudes podcast. Right?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever tell him that his nickname is Agent Zero?
That's my guy on the Draft Dudes podcast.
What was that, Joe?
And now, that's my guy on the Draft Dudes podcast.
Gotcha. No, he has not been made aware of his non-self-titled nickname. We'll let him know eventually. We got him on the show. He needs to be a Draft Dudes alumni. So we'll get Tyson on and ask him about his Dan Marino jersey. Throwback Dan Marino jersey, too.
Wow.
No less.
Am I invited for this episode, or is this going to be the two of you kind of have some things to sort out?
No, you're welcome. Name's Marino. It'll be good.
Ah! All right.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us today on the show. Yes. Anything else, Chris? Producer Chris?
No. Fun week ahead with the Super Bowl right around the corner.
Producer Chris?
Nothing crazy will happen this week on the show. Nothing.
Surely.
No wee-woos will happen. Nothing. It'll be nice and
surely
calm.
Surely nothing weird will happen this week as we are 1 week away from the Derek Carr trade deadline.
You know what's funny is Chris is over here wanting Derek Carr, brought him up to the Carolina Panthers fans, and they are not interested. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, they'd rather have Hendon Hooker.
Great. Great. Just eliminate teams in the running. Thank you very much.
Well, their fans don't get to make the call, so... We'll see.
All right. Well, maybe that we can do some of that tomorrow. We're done here for the day. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris Schubert. Make it a great rest of your Monday. We will talk with you all tomorrow. Thanks for checking out Draft Dudes, and thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace. Yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.